Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Wortham.
Ooh, that would be a little weird.
Wherever you are, I hope Wortham is in a, yeah.
Strange Brew is worth it.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. And I like ham.
Wortham.
So Wortham. Wortham.
Wortham.
Maybe it might be Wortham. I don't know.
Yeah, we got to incorporate. Can we incorporate ham into coffee? I don't think so. But.
You're wrong. What do you think red eye gravy is?
I don't know. Never had it.
It's made with coffee.
Okay. But.
Never had red eye gravy?
Never.
Oh, no. Wow.
Have you had Rocky Mountain oysters?
I don't live in the Rocky Mountains.
You don't have to.
Red eye gravy is a very southern dish. I'm surprised you haven't had it.
Rocky Mountain oysters could be southern, I guess. We eat anything down here.
That's true, but
it
says Rocky Mountain in the name.
Those are testicles.
I know, yes. Okay. We're off to a rip-roaring start here. Here we go, huh? This is how today's going to go? 10:54 at night on a Thursday?
I got some oatmeal cream pie.
He's eating an oatmeal cream pie. He just ate a big bag of pork rinds.
Oh, yeah. I feel fat.
Well, I know how that feels.
But
yeah,
Strange Brew,
uh-huh.
They make some good breakfast items.
They do.
We could have like ham, egg and cheese muffin or something.
Yeah, for sure. They'll have those quiche.
Yes,
they do the those. Quiche. Yeah.
So. I love quiche.
All right. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. You can just click away. StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com. All the cold brew, all the drip coffee they have there at the
restaurant. They do not have Rocky Mountain oysters.
No, they don't. I don't think they ever will. I don't think they will. StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com. I'm going to pray that that's our one and only mention.
I was pretty sure you knew what it was, but it sounded like you didn't.
No, so I knew exactly what it was. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I hope that's our last mention of that particular part of the body on this show.
Testicles?
Ah! I'm sorry, Gigi. I'm sorry. Ms. Falk.
It's the anatomy.
It's still a little crude.
Oh, you're telling me something's crude.
I'm telling you that something's crude.
I don't want to hear anything from you.
College Corner and collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. I skipped one. I'll come back to it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, maroon and white, you need to get new stuff. You need the new state script. They show crowd shots, and I'm just like, all these banner M's. You're at baseball. What are you doing with the banner M? Get the M over S polos out for baseball.
Embarrassing.
So grab it at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Pip Printing and Signs, that's the place to take your business if you're a Mississippi State fan, and I'll tell you why. Because they are going to help you become a Bulldog Initiative business, and you're not going to have to spend any extra money to do it. If you're a business owner, you already spend money on printing. Give your business to Pip Printing and Signs. Tell them you heard about them on... Don't do that. Don't do the... Take your business to Pip Printing, but don't do what Robbie was just about to do. Robbie, you're like a little child today. Calm down.
Just today?
Yeah, most days. Take your business to Pip Printing and Signs. Tell them you heard about them on Thunder and Lightning. 10% of whatever business you give them goes straight to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. Like I said, if you're a business owner, you already spend money on printing. This is a deal you can't pass up if you're a Bulldog. Call Camden Baker at 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip today. Restaurant Tyler is Starville's flagship restaurant. Lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, the best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. Like I said the other day, graduation coming up for a lot of us here in Starkville. Treat your grad to a fine dinner at Restaurant Tyler. Treat them to the best meal they've had. And I'm almost willing to guarantee that that's the case. Restaurant Tyler for dinner is a fantastic place, one of the best places to eat in all of the SEC. Great steaks, great main dishes, great appetizers, and my favorite dessert in town, the famous stuffed pancake. If you want to have a great meal, you want to have a special occasion, you can have it at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Go to PriorityOneBank.com, find a location near you, and open an account today that's going to benefit you and your family for many years to come. It's not just a small community bank where they just offer a check-in and a savings account. This is a full financial institution that's going to be able to offer you a lot of ways to manage and to invest and to do things with your money that you didn't think were possible at a small bank like Priority One, especially when you're talking about getting the kind of service you're going to get at Priority One. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority.
You know, I was kind of, it was really frustrating what happened last week, because Arkansas, I think, is a really, really, really good team, and State had a chance to win on Friday night when they've been basically like unbeatable.
Yeah.
And by the time we're done recording this, they might have lost.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they've completely shut down Texas A&M for like 8 or 9 innings right now.
Mm-hmm. 10.
And they got Hagan Smith out of the ballgame in the 5th. They're in the 10th.
Mm-hmm. A&M has 3 hits. No runs. It's nothing. Arkansas does have right now, as we're recording, first and third with one out. So they're probably about to get on the board with Peyton Stovall at the plate. That's who they want to have up there.
I thought State played like really
they
well last
weekend. They did as good as anybody has done against Hagan Smith in his career.
And you like the whole weekend, I thought State played pretty well.
Yeah,
they just didn't close out all the games.
They didn't. Wow, A&M has struck out 18 times tonight.
Hagan Smith has a lot to do with that.
He does.
It's kind of like State against them on Friday night.
Numbers? He had 14 Ks in 6 innings. So that means, yeah.
And the only reason he pitched 6 innings is because he had 14 strikeouts.
He pitched. He faced 21 batters, 2 hits, no runs, no walks, 14 strikeouts.
There was a game he had this year against Oregon State, I think, where he struck out every batter he got out except for one.
He's just sick, and the State did a good job against him, but. This weekend, Mississippi State taking on Missouri, and they get the win on Thursday night, I should say, 4-3. Something about Missouri and Mississippi State. State cannot just. I mean, this is something we talked about though during the week. Is that State is not great against bad teams.
They're not.
And Missouri, we saw it tonight. They are not a good baseball team. Stovall struck out. That's surprising.
Is it 0-0 in
the top of the
about
10th.
To go to the bottom of the 10th?
If they don't do anything here, yeah.
A&M's gonna hit like a walk-off home run.
Who's up for A&M in the next inning? It's the 5-6-7. So it's not Lavalette and.
This is gonna be an interesting game because Arkansas is probably gonna use some bullets tonight, which pretty deep bullpen.
And don't forget, I don't know that we stressed this enough, that if A&M gets swept and State sweeps Missouri, State's the 2 seed the 4 seed, and then 2nd place in the West. So there's something there for Mississippi State. They had to get the win tonight. I thought they got a good night out of Cal Steven. He gave up 3 solo home runs. Mm-hmm. They were hitting him a little bit, but by and large, he was very effective. And then you got something you haven't had, which was a good night out of your bullpen, Tyson Harden and Tyler Davis. I don't know about Harden, but Davis can certainly come back. Chris Lamone has told us that in the post game. I think Harden could maybe give you an inning. On Saturday, if you needed him to.
And then this is the time to start stretching them a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. And then they just got, a couple of timely hits. Solo home run from Monty Larry, solo home run from Bryce Chance, who also scored on a triple. He hit a triple and then an RBI ground out by David Marchand. But the winning run came off of a crazy play where Joe Powell pops up, Monty Larry on 2nd. He's just taking off running. There's 2 outs. And 4 Missouri defenders can't find the ball in the sky, and it drops, and you get an RBI double that was maybe 5 feet behind 2nd base. And that's enough for Mississippi State to win the game. They had to win. They didn't have any choice. this is going to be so, so tight. I think what we have to look at, and State's RPI tonight dropped to 20, we have to look at it in terms of RPI is not the guide. It is a tool.
I feel like we've put way too much in the RPI.
I agree. And then we have to look at it in terms of if State sweeps and they have 18 conference wins, really 19 with the Governor's Cup, and then they go over to Hoover and they get a win, that's 20 wins. You just have to look at it from that point of view that, okay, State won 20 games against the best competition in the nation. And they have, look, it's not that they just beat up on the bad teams. They have a win over A&M. They have a win over Arkansas. They have two wins over Alabama, who's 14 in the RPI.
Win over Georgia.
They have two wins over
really
Georgia,
right
who's
now.
They're three in the RPI. They were 10-11. They've won seven straight in the conference, and they've easily locked up a hosting spot. You didn't play Kentucky or Tennessee. We'll see if they see them over there in Hoover. But that's what it's going to come down to. Wow, they got out of the inning. That's what it's going to come down to for State is it's not going to be RPI, because I think RPI right now at best is going to be between 18 and 22 when we get to Monday. It's going to be about looking at that resume and saying they won 19 games against SEC teams.
If they sweep, I really have a hard time believing they're not going to host. Like, that would be
– I keep going back to 2014, Robbie, when they had – they were 18 and 12, but they had five or six, maybe even seven non-conference losses.
Yeah, I just think the SEC was much weaker that year. State was tied for the SEC West, I think, or maybe a game back.
Yeah, I think Ole Miss won the West that year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think they had a chance to tie for the West or win the West in that last – weekend. I remember right, they played Alabama maybe that last weekend.
Yeah,
and they had a chance to win the West, and they didn't take care of business. But the SEC was not as strong at the top, I don't think, that year. If I remember correctly,
so,
14, you know, Ole Miss went to Omaha that year.
State was a game behind Ole Miss.
Yeah. Ole Miss hosted a regional, but they had to go to Lafayette.
They were the number four team in the country and had to go to Lafayette for their regional.
They're in their regional or something like that? Maybe?
I don't recall. Let me see if this gives me this 2014 team. Yeah. Their regional was Washington, and then went down to Louisiana Lafayette and won two games to one.
Lost the first game.
They
and then
came back on the next two.
Yeah.
So that year in the West, that year in the conference, Vandy was number one in the nation going into the postseason. And Ole Miss was fourth. And then you had LSU, Florida, South Carolina were all ranked in the bottom of the top 25. They were 21st.
Yeah, it wasn't a very strong one.
So, yeah, this year you have four elite teams.
Yeah.
State hasn't played two of them, so maybe I don't know if that works against. I just don't know. I just see a team that looks like if they're going to have 19, maybe 20 wins when you get to Hoover in the conference, it's going to be tough. This is how this is going to go, Robbie. It's going to be tough to say they shouldn't host, but if they don't host, you're just going to be able to look at it and go, I know why they didn't host.
Yeah, people can't complain.
Right.
But here's what I'll say. You're dealing with – you got to remember this. We try to make it such a metrics thing, and I think the metrics do matter. I mean, they're not going to give Mississippi State a hosting spot with a 35 RPI.
Right.
So, I mean, let's be real about that. Right. But you're dealing with a committee. You're dealing with human people that are making these decisions based on the metrics, but also the eye test, things like that. How hot a team is, I think, factors into it. And let's be honest. The fact Mississippi State can put 15,000 in Duty Noble, I think matters. I think that's going to be
certainly
something
used to.
They might not say that per se, but the NCAA being able to make a lot of money in a sport that doesn't make money, with 15,000 people in it, you know, maybe three times during a weekend, I think that will factor into it.
Especially when you consider two of the other huge stadiums. Ole Miss and LSU will not be hosting.
Right.
So,
or South Carolina.
South Carolina's not going to host. So you got five big stadiums in the conference. A&M Stadium is big, but it's not like that. You have State and Arkansas. Arkansas is going to host. State might host. The other three are going to be empty. So, yeah, you're not wrong. And like I said, you know, 2 decades ago, it wouldn't have been a question, right? You just put in your bid, and State would outbid everybody, and they were going to host. Now that they take the season you had into account, you know, it this season is going to hurt State a little bit. And it's just as simple as this. State has had 5 or 6 or 7 opportunities in conference play to get a win. I mean, right now State is 16-12.
Just get one win.
If they were 17-11, this would be done. It would be done.
You need a win. Like,
you would win tomorrow,
and
that would be it, and you'd be like, all right, they're in. If they had just held on against Florida, or if they had just held on against Florida, or if they had just held on against Ole Miss, or if they just held on against Arkansas twice, or if they hadn't not showed up against Alabama on Sunday, or if you don't have your catcher body check somebody and get thrown out and cause a fracas, and you end up losing that game because you've got, you know, you're letting your pitcher play left field and having to take a bad at bat.
And the next day they say, actually, that was the wrong decision that we did that.
Yeah. So State has had all these opportunities to just sew everything up and be done with it, and they haven't. They've left it here to this point.
And we've talked about the games that they should have won, which upset some people last week to say should have, whatever. Mm-hmm. There were games where Mississippi State was in position to win, and they didn't.
They should have won. I don't care what people get upset. They should have won.
They should have. So you don't even have to say they should have 8 more wins.
Mm-hmm.
Just say if you could have just won 1 or 2 of those games, you would be in. You would already have it locked up at this point.
I had Teddy Cahill on with me on the live show. And I just asked him straight up. I said, if State had won, held on Sunday, and won that game against Arkansas, would they have been in your projections today as a host? And he said, yes.
Yeah, they got to be.
Yeah, he said, at that point, they have to be in. And so it literally is, you could probably, of those games I just mentioned, 2 of Florida, Ole Miss game 2, Georgia game 2, Alabama game 3, Arkansas game 1, game 3. That's 7 games. Pick any one of them, and if State had held on and won that game like they should have, or in the Alabama games case, should, you know, had played like they cared,
yeah,
they would be done right now. But they're not, and so
that's what.
And it also matters what happens around them. It matters what's going to happen around them right
now.
Yeah,
well, and that's they've put that in other people's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't take care of business.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm so torn on this team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm so torn on what can this team accomplish. Because, in one hand, I look at them and I say, they could have swept Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
At Arkansas. They could have swept Florida. 2 series losses there. They could have swept Ole Miss. That's 3 series. I look at that and I say, this team should be a top 5 team right now.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also look at it and say, the fact that they're not taking care of business and not winning those games,
mm-hmm,
is why they're not a top 5 team.
Yeah.
That's why they're on the borderline of hosting.
Yeah.
They're not a great team because they haven't been able to come out and take care of business like that. And it's so odd that we usually see them tearing the cover off the ball against these really good teams, having some really good at-bats, pitching it pretty well. They pitched it fairly well against most teams, like, mm-hmm, at least starting pitching.
Yeah.
But then you see them against North Alabama, and they're struggling to put up big innings, and you see them against Missouri tonight. There's been, you know, the Auburn series, I didn't think they hit the ball very well in that series, and that's not a great pitching staff. They just seem to kind of play up or down to their competition, and that's a problem. Like, when they get in a regional, are they going to play like that against a 4 seed or a 3 seed, whoever they're playing against? Is it going to be a game win loss? Because right now, I don't have a whole lot of faith that State's going to come out and just will themselves to a victory.
Yeah.
So something's got to change as far as the, I don't know, sense of urgency or consistency, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They won the game on Thursday night, and I'm kind of at the point now where, like, I just don't really care about style points. I just need to win.
Yeah.
But the style points, too, kind of matter a little bit. You want to see a team that's kind of locked in,
Yeah,
and
this
playing
time of year
really
especially.
Good baseball in all three phases.
Robbie, I'm at the point with this team where it's like, if you, you know, if you knocked me out and woke me up at the end of June, and you told me that they made a deep run into Omaha, I wouldn't be overly surprised. Sure. But at the same time, if you told me they went 2-Q in their regional, I wouldn't be totally surprised by that either. I can't remember a Mississippi State baseball team that I had less of a handle on this late in this. Like, you know, 2021, I was like, hey, they can win it. They could.
But we
it.
Also, at this point, we're like, this team ain't playing good baseball.
They weren't
this
at the end, but, at the same, but I knew that they if they when they played their best baseball, they could win it.
But you kind of like
I just
you,
didn't know
kind of felt.
Show.
You know, they just lost a series to Missouri to end the year. Mm-hmm. They got run ruled in Hoover. You mm-hmm. felt like
I felt like they were gonna. I thought they would win their regional.
Yeah,
and then the super regional would be a toss up.
We still felt okay about them, but it was like this isn't good that they're not playing good.
As soon as they got to Omaha, I was like, oh, they're playing the best they can.
Yeah,
and that they were gonna win.
Well, Notre Dame was really tough.
They needed
that.
They needed somebody to kick them in the pants and give them a challenge, and they had it. This team, you know, again, you know, if they host, I feel really good about them going to a super regional. If they don't, it's going to be tougher for sure. But they've been a good road team this year.
They
found a way to win a road. They've won one road series, and they haven't been swept yet on the road. So,
and I think, like, their pitching, if you get to a super, their pitching should be pretty solidified by that point. Because I think you'll have basically two or three weeks with Nate Dolm kind of back into the groove.
Yeah. I wonder how much you can get from him, though. He missed a lot of time this
late
in the season.
Well, on the flip side of that, he's pretty fresh.
Yeah, but, I mean, do you really
if
think
he gets
a guy
back
who missed this
it,
many weeks in a row is going to come in and give you like 60, 70,
well,
80 pitches?
No, but I think that he can give you two innings
every
other game. And that's why I would put him in the bullpen.
I'll be surprised if that happens. I just don't know.
Well, I mean, he can either pitch or don't pitch.
I mean, I get it, yeah.
But, like, if you get Pico on track, which I think that's who I would imagine is going to pitch Sunday or Saturday.
That's what I think, too,
have to keep saying that.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you have two free agents that you just got late in the process for a regional run in Pico and Nate Dolm. If those two guys knock the rust off and are pitching really well, that changes everything for Mississippi State. Now, their lineup, Connor Hyzak's got to get back. They got to get him back.
Yeah.
That's messing up the whole lineup right now.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if you get Hyzak back, you have Joe Powell is locked in right now. Even his outs, he looks like outs, or he's getting on base.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably going to be – I would probably slide him in at catcher if Hyzak's back and do whatever else, Imani Larry, DH, whatever.
I made that point to you tonight that, you know, Johnny Long being in the lineup, never mind Hyzak, if Aaron Downs could play.
Yeah.
That
you're just not – he's just not getting on base right now.
Who, Downs?
Johnny Long.
Yeah, he's just not, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, he had another pass ball tonight. He had seven, I think, of those this year. I mean, he's not catching great right now and – you know, offensively, you're just not getting much from him. Hyzak, Downs, whoever, they got to get them back to give you a little more depth in this lineup because right now you just don't have a lot of choices.
Mm-hmm. They're going to the 11th.
Wow.
In College Station.
0-0.
Yeah. A&M got a two-out double, and they Arkansas switched pitchers and got a ground out and called it a day there. Well, like I said, lost in all this talk we've done is that State did get the win, and we'll move forward, try to win the series tomorrow. That first pitch, if you haven't heard, has moved to 3 p.m., so that means Sports Talk Mississippi will be on the air. So it means if you live in a area that gets Mississippi State baseball for Super Talk, I'm going to ask you to please switch over to the Super Talk app or we'll listen online at supertalk.fm, and because otherwise that game will be
the
show will be covered.
The Ole Miss fans will gladly do it, won't they?
I think some State fans will do it, too. We'll see. We'll see. The Ole Miss fans, for sure. I had that. It was the opposite problem today. Ole Miss first pitch was at 4. So, a lot of people, we lose the Ole Miss people. All right. Let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. I got to go buy some steaks today at the grocery store. And so, I'm looking forward to that, putting together a nice meal for Mom on our Mother's Day, which is this Sunday. And, you know, any day can be a steak day, though. You don't have to have a special occasion. You don't have to have a reason to cook a steak. You just cook a steak because steak is good. And that's what I would suggest you do. So if you're firing up the grill this weekend, remember, nothing beats the sizzle of beef. Talk to your local butchers, your local meat market guys. They've got the best specials. They've got the best cuts. They'll tell you what's good that week. Enjoy it. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. And if you saw today, if you got an email from the Bulldog Initiative, they allowed you to download this coupon card from the Bulldog Initiative. And I know Two Brothers is one of the places you can get 10% off your purchase there at Two Brothers with your Bulldog Initiative card. So if you're a Bulldog Initiative member, you got that card today, head to Two Brothers this weekend and you can save a little money on a great, great meal. So enjoy yourself at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Have some smoked Southern soul food. Head to the ballpark, and you're supporting the Bulldog Initiative all at the same time. You can't beat it at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products, great service is the what every business is going to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and that's what they've been doing for 49 years. Their mission is to take care of their customers after the sale, and that's what they do better than anybody else. And 49 years of keeping the doors open proves that point to you. So if you need a new copy or a new printer, if you need new computers, whatever it is technologically, I think that's the right word, you give them a call. They've got great name brands and great prices. But more importantly, when something goes wrong and you need something fixed, they're going to fix it for you. And they're not going to make you wait a week to 10 days for an out-of-state guy to show up. They're not going to put you on hold for 45 minutes trying to get in touch with them. It's a Mississippi phone number. You're going to talk to a person, and they're going to get you taken care of a lot of times the exact same day. 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. I'm telling you, you need to get new gear, and Maroon & Co. is the place to get it when you're in Starkville. They've got an incredible selection of Mississippi State logo wear, stuff you cannot find anywhere else. They've got the logos that you want. They've got the Bulldog Initiative polos and pullovers that the coaches wear. If you want those, you can only get them at Maroon & Co. And right now, we've got a code THUNDER15. You can use it in the store or online, and you can save 15% off on any regular priced item. Some exclusions do apply, but check it out. Before you head to New Noble this weekend, you need to head to Maroon & Co. Well, Robbie, I can't say that I started the day thinking this was going to be a busy day for basketball recruiting, but Chris Jans decided to do a little work on a Thursday and picked up two commitments. Let's start with the lesser known of the two, and that's Rhode Island center Jeremy. Jeremy, if you're listening, I will apologize right now because I'm not 100% sure.
Try it out.
Femina.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Who am I to argue?
Jeremy Femina, 6'11", averaged 5-4 a season ago for Rhode Island. What former Laker was a Rhode Island Ram?
Rick Fox?
No. Oh, no. He went to North Carolina.
Yeah, he did.
You know? One more guess.
What time frame?
He played with Kobe. Won titles with Kobe. Three.
I don't know.
Lamar Odom.
He sure was, wasn't
he? Yeah.
Nice lefty stroke.
Lamar Odom, one of the most underrated players of all time. Anyway,
he was like a bright spot on those bad teams.
Yeah,
that was the transition
years. And then he was
the
perfect role player teams.
When they got Pau Gasol and...
Well, they had three seven-footers with him and Gasol and Bynum. I mean, it was just a different time in basketball. And this guy's almost a seven-footer as well, Jeremy Femina.
I feel bad not for not remembering Rick Fox was...
North Carolina.
I forgot.
Married to Vanessa Williams, too. That guy lived a good life.
Yeah, good for him.
Lamar
Odom had a good run in the Kardashian Ural.
Oh, God, don't start. I saw a post on one of your message boards that sort of did some analytics on this kid's numbers and said, you know, if you play 40 minutes, what are you getting? You're getting like 16-11 out of this guy. Didn't play a ton of minutes for a bad Rhode Island team. 3 years of eligibility remaining. The only concern I have at this moment, and it could change because there are still targets out there in the portal, is that you don't have a proven guy at the five. Between this guy and Michael Nwoko, you don't have that. You don't have anything close to what you have with Tolu Smith. And I'm not saying you've got to get a guy who's going to give you 17 and 10, mm-hmm. but you would like to have a little bit more proven potential. But you've got two young guys here who can, if you can battle it out, if nothing else, and look like potentially they have some promise. And then we'll see. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I boring you?
No, that video just popped back up on my phone somehow.
The Noxipater
vape shop that was robbed.
Noxivapor?
Yeah, okay. Pretty much.
Yeah. And then we'll see. You know, we'll talk about some of the potential another big man coming to Mississippi State. So that's a good pickup for State. But the one that caught everybody's attention.
And real quick on him, I think what you're looking at is the projection, because you see guys their freshman year, they might have numbers like this and then make that big jump their sophomore year. He was coming off the bench at Rhode Island as a freshman, mm-hmm. and I think the reason he got in the portal was kind of the upside, that he could get a better opportunity somewhere else, kind of a springboard year as a sophomore, and we'll see if that happens. But for Mississippi State, they're looking at this as building depth at center, and they still have that ultimate goal of getting a starting center in here, and that's your backup. Or if Nwoko stays, I don't know if he will or not, but mm-hmm. Guy Chole or whatever they got, whatever they're going to have there, like the competition at center goes up a notch, mm-hmm. you know. So this guy has potential. I mean, you look at his numbers. And like you said, what he did in the limited time he was in there, he's got a chance to be really good in time.
Mm-hmm. So that was the kind of the surprise commitment for
Hit eight three-pointers, too,
yeah,
last year.
That's interesting for a guy who didn't have a lot of options. Sometimes, you know, time is a flat circle. Everything's a circle. You know, everything comes back to where it originally started. That is the case today for Riley Kugel. Signed with Mississippi State out of high school. Was let out of his letter of intent after Ben Howland, and more importantly to him, Corey McCray, were let go by Mississippi State. Goes to Florida, couple of decent seasons down there for the Gators, gets in the portal. Now he's back. He'll be part of the Mississippi State team in 2024-25. Another SEC-proven guy. Basically a 10-point-per-game scorer in limited minutes for the Gators. A top-notch shooter, a career 42%, I think. Three-point shooter, a great athlete. This is a guy that you talk about high ceiling. You got it here. This is a guy that in the right system, if he can thrive, could be a big-time scorer for Mississippi State. Another guard. So it's interesting, you know, you look at Clary, Hubbard, Harris, and now Kugel. I feel like State's going to be playing some smaller lineups this year just to get these guys on the floor, maybe have Matthews and then one of the big men out there with them to do it, to clean everything up behind them. But it really feels like Jans has put an emphasis on getting some shooters, some guys he can trust to get the ball into the bucket, and then he'll worry about coaching up that defense. Kugel, to me, is a guy. I'll just put it like this. You know, I talk about recruiting with Richard all the time. When he heard it was Kugel, he's like, oh, that's a good pickup.
Yeah.
And Richard's a guy now who not only, A, he's a rebel, so he's not looking to give State credit. And I'm not, he can be unbiased, but, you know, most of the time he's just like, ah, whatever. The other thing is, Richard is a guy who calls a lot of college basketball. So he sees these guys, you know, up close and personal, and he knows what kind of player Kugel is. This is a guy that last year, you know, prior, you remember after his freshman year, he had a little draft buzz. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of, he could come out as after his sophomore year. He didn't have the kind of sophomore year I think people were expecting for him. I thought people thought he might take a big jump from like 10 to, you know, 13, 14, 15 points per game. It didn't happen.
And I think it was kind of like some frustration for him, you know.
I agree. But this is a really good addition for Mississippi State.
Oh, yeah. The upside is through the roof for this kid. I mean, the ceiling for him is like top five pick in the NBA. And I don't say that lightly. Like,
right.
I've talked to enough people. We talked to Kyle Nibbler today.
Mm-hmm. Kyle Niblett.
He's always Nibbler to me. He sent a message to us today. He said this guy's a potential lottery pick.
Yeah.
And like I really do believe this kid could be a high pick in the draft if everything came together for him. And if you look back at his freshman year, last year, you know, hit some big shots against State when they came to State and won that ball game here. He was kind of up and down, but by the end of the year, he was starting for them as a freshman. He had kind of worked through the freshman kinks early on in the season, and by the end of the season, he had scored double digits in like 11 out of the last 12 games or something, and was, you know, 20-plus points in a few of those ball games. Can really fill it up. He had 25 at Kentucky. So this is a guy that's got all the potential in the world. Started off strong this year. He had 25 against Baylor, I think, in non-conference play this year. And started those games at the beginning of the year, and then you look at the numbers, it just kind of tails off.
Yeah.
And what that tells me is he went through probably some, you know, mental things with him, sophomore slump stuff. Wasn't comfortable, might have had an issue or two. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
But that's usually what you see in those situations.
Yeah.
And this is a chance to get a fresh start. This place is familiar to him.
Mm-hmm.
He was committed here. There was a reason that he came here or wanted to come here out of high school.
Right.
As a top 50 player.
Mm-hmm.
So that... To me, like, I think this could be a chance for him to really break out. Like you said, there was some talk that he was going to go pro after his freshman year. So anytime somebody's garnering that buzz as a freshman, pretty freaking good.
Yeah.
And I think he's got, you know, some good length to him, can play the wing. He can play the two or the three, so I don't think it necessarily disrupts Clary or Claude Ayers.
I would be honest. I think that your starting lineup might be Clary, Hubbard, and Kugel.
Yeah, I can see
with
that.
With Matthews and whoever your big man is.
Yeah. So I don't know what that does to RJ Melendez. We'll see. The State's going to have an adjustment here on the roster.
Yeah, and let's get into that a little bit because as it stands right now, State's full up. Depending on who is on scholarship and who's not, you know, taking an NIL deal or something like that. I don't know if Sean Jones is going to be on scholarship now. I don't know about Martavius Russell. But as it stands right now, they have 13. But they are still pursuing targets in the portal, most notably the Vanderbilt center, Vin Allen Lubin, who played basically every game for the Commodores last year and averaged 12.6 rebounds. He is not the same size guy. He's a smaller big man. He's 6'8". But when you look at his numbers, 50% from the field, 73% from the line, which is just a blessing in disguise for Mississippi State. I mean, he just is a guy who can put the ball in the bucket. He visited North Carolina earlier this week, left without committing, and there's a lot of strong rumors that he might be here this weekend visiting Mississippi State. But this is a guy, when you look at, you know, starting with their game against Auburn on January 31st, first points per game, 17, 12, 8, 13, 25 in a win over Texas A&M, 10, 10, 15. He had 19 in their win over Arkansas, 8 against LSU. Then he had 25 against Florida when they beat them, and then 21 in Vanderbilt's loss to Arkansas in the SEC tournament. And of those games, 1, 2, 3, 4 of them are double-double games.
Yeah.
So this is a very consistent guy.
That's your starting center. I mean.
Yeah. North Carolina wanted to bring him in. It obviously shows you what kind of player he is. And for him to leave without committing feels like it's good for Mississippi State. We shall see.
And from what I've heard, they pushed for a commitment. And
yeah.
he wasn't ready to give one.
Yeah.
And they kind of gave him a time frame on it, and he said no.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you're getting a guy that's, you know, sloppy seconds or was a backup last year and looking for a starting role. This was a really good center in the SEC, did it in this league. North Carolina wanted him, a national championship caliber program, wanted him on their roster.
Mm-hmm.
This is huge for Mississippi State. This recruitment here, which I'm hearing could get him in this weekend. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
This is so big for State to lock this up because – if and when you do that, this portal haul was easily the best portal haul Mississippi State has had, maybe in any sport, since this transfer portal thing became something.
Yeah. I made the point prior to today, and it just got reiterated, though, that like State's not just getting transfers, they're getting proven guys at power programs. They're not getting the, you know, obviously
the Power Six or whatever the conference's numbers are now, 4, 5, 6, whatever.
Yeah.
They're coming from those programs. They're not getting guys that were, you know, second team all Sun Belt.
Right. Jeremy Fuima is kind of the exception to the rule at this point. Everybody else, you've gotten a guy. You know, Nwoko obviously doesn't have big numbers, but he was at Miami.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then you've got Harris and Melendez and Clary.
And Harris and Clary were like the team's like top scorers.
Yeah. So, you know, you're getting somewhere with that. Obviously, adding Lubin would be a huge deal as well for this team. This program appears to be going in the right direction. By the way, if you're a person who's been playing the, well, we just don't have the NIL, that narrative just keeps getting disproven, right? Because people want to talk about, well, it must be NIL, that's why we can't get any defensive guys. But the offensive guys keep coming in. So clearly there's money there. And now you see the way that they're doing basketball. I'm interested to see what baseball does, but I have been told many, many times that of all the programs, baseball may have the most solid footing of all of them with NIL.
They couldn't give away money to guys last year.
Yeah, it was. I think having Parker and having some success is going to get everybody back on board. I would expect Mississippi State to be much more successful in the portal.
Especially if you host. Yeah. You know, that's going to be on TV. People are going to see what that atmosphere is like.
Exactly.
It's going to be a lot easier sell this year, but... No, State's NIL is in a good spot. Now, it can always get better. What happened?
A&M's got first and third, one out, and Braden Montgomery at the plate.
Oh, ball game.
Should be ball game.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, State's NIL is in a good place. And like I said, this is a good time if you're a State fan to kind of keep the pedal down.
Yeah.
I'm sure Charlie would appreciate it.
Yes, yeah, he absolutely would. All right.
If he's able to get any sleep, maybe he'll sleep tonight.
Maybe.
Fairly well.
I don't know. All right. We'll be back on what do you want to record Saturday? After the game? Just get it over with, have Sunday off?
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. All right. Well, regardless, we'll be back after the weekend. We'll recap everything, try to get a handle on where things stand going into the SEC tournament. So until then, for Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.